Welcome to Stories of Stories. I'm your host, Mike Chin. In each edition of this podcast, I explore the stories behind a specific creative project, process, or experience. I'll be talking about projects on this show with the expectation that either you're already familiar with the project I'm talking about, so for example, if it's a story, you've already read it, or you don't plan to read it. Regardless, what I'm trying to get at is this podcast will include all kinds of spoilers, so please listen no further if you don't want anything spoiled. This episode, I'll be discussing Better. Better is a short story I published with an online journal called Extracts, which has unfortunately gone defunct since that time. But one thing I actually admired about the way that Extracts closed down, which is a little bit of an aside here, is that they did give a lot of forewarning to previous contributors that it was happening, and even went so far as to provide instructions for archiving a page online. So that we could kind of retain our work and leave it accessible on the web somewhere. So, I followed those steps, and the story is still available in the format it was published in via my website if you'd like to visit there at miketchin.com. So Better is a story that's told in fragments, capturing the life of this protagonist, Joel, from his bitter childhood with some implications. He had a bad relationship with his mom, and there's a little piece in there about his dad catching him masturbating. And it kind of tracks this character's life through him having his own family, to having his own children, and his work life, culminating in him being a grandfather. And it kind of all ties together with his grandson and kind of having a similar experience to what he did when he was around the kid's age, but handling it better in a sense. Without kind of discussing it in great detail, basically the idea is Joel as a kid gets to name the class goldfish, and he crushes the thing and calls it mother. That's the implication, that he didn't get along with his mom, and the grandson names his pet grandpa. In that case, and he loves the thing. And so just kind of showing that this child, this generation, might do it better than the one before it. So this story uses sort of a collage style to assemble all of these pieces and kind of put them together. And part of what's interesting to me about that is I ended up learning a lot about the collage style when I was in my MFA program. Became a big fan of Maggie Nelson and started doing some writing that kind of mimics some of what she was doing in my fiction and in my poetry and a little bit of essay writing. But didn't really know what to call it at the time, but still kind of gravitated toward this style of storytelling. And some of that formatting actually kind of gets lost in the presentation, the way the story was published. There's a lot of empty white space that's kind of supposed to appear between transitions that didn't get represented the way that it was published. I think the story still works. I think the reader can still pretty easily intuit where those breaks are happening. A lot of times it's as simple as at the paragraph breaks, but there is a little bit of a variation in the presentation of the way that it actually appears if you're to read the story online versus the way I originally intended it. But the handling of time in this story was definitely an interesting component of it to me. Again, the story kind of jumps all around and ends up spanning this character's entire life. There's this technique of kind of jumping forward in the story, which is something that a friend of mine in my MFA program pointed out to me was something that I had a tendency to do. And I think I kind of was conscious of it, but not really the extent to which I did it. But the fact that I was doing it a lot in my stories where, I would tell a story and then I would jump forward for the final passage, and it would become kind of this epilogue to the story before it. And, in some cases it could work, but a lot of cases it was kind of problematic and kind of felt a little bit too neat. There's an editor who I read an essay by not long after I'd gotten that feedback, and it was sort of interesting, but it was talking about stories that jump forward through time and how they sort of don't trust the structure that the story itself is operating on, that they feel the need to do something big and dramatic that kind of disrupts the rhythm of the story at that late stage, that sort of disingenuous as a mode of storytelling. And I think I read that at just about the right time in my career to kind of internalize that and get why that was problematic. This story is sort of an exception to that, at least I like to think so. And I think the reason why it works in this case, where it didn't work in so many of those others, is the way the jumps through time are sort of embedded in the DNA of the piece. It's not that we have big sustained scenes, and move from those or from a set of those into some distant future and some sort of retrospective narrator. But on the contrary, it's more kind of just the mode the story is operating. It's just these short little vignettes repeatedly, and they're not sort of in any set pattern. It's not like it goes, you know, every 5 years we check in with this character, and it's not like there's specific events that kind of overlap even thematically all the way through. There's definitely, you know, some connections between them, but there's a little bit more of an element of randomness to it, and a little bit more of an element of these are pieces that kind of serve the story that I think make it kind of work. So this is a piece that I wrote. I first drafted it when I was still living in Baltimore the first time, and then revised early on in my time in Oregon. You ended up pretty happy with it. It was actually one of the pieces that I read at my very first reading as part of the MFA program there. And then started sending it out not so long after one more round of revisions, and was pretty happy to have it placed with extracts. So that's a wrap on Better. So we'll move along here to Mike's monthly endorsement. So as an artist, I think it's important to be consuming other things to see what interests and inspires you, and to see what's already out there and see what's come before you. So at the end of episodes, I'm recommending a book, story, movie, TV show, band, wrestling match, or something else that may have escaped a huge mainstream audience, or that might be a little bit dated now and be at the cusp of being forgotten, that I want to recommend to you all. So in this case, I'm going to recommend a set of two poems that were published together. These were poems by a friend of mine from Oregon, Alana Folsom. The poems are called Imagine Confession During a Date at an Italian Restaurant and On My Living Room Couch. And they were published together in Hobart, which is a really great online journal that does a lot of kind of gritty, kind of edgy material. Thought it was a really interesting venue for these pieces. These poems, like a lot of Alana's work, really focus on kind of this element of physicality and kind of tapping into this intimacy of thought, and often kind of talking about things that we don't want to talk about. I think that's something I've always admired from what I've heard of her poetry. I think that's something I often try to tap into in my fiction, is kind of these uncomfortable places and kind of cutting through, you know, kind of social niceties to kind of get at what, you know, people are really thinking or feeling. And I think that's something that Alana does especially well. I think these two poems are a really excellent example of it. So, again, you can find these pretty easily. They're online for free. Hobart's got a great site. So search for Hobart, search for Alana Folsom. You'll surely be able to land on these two poems published together in 2016. All right. Well, I want to thank you all for listening, and I hope you will check back again. Special thanks, as always, go out to Mike Peake for providing the theme music for this show. That's all for this time. I'm wishing you all good health, happiness, and creativity, and I'll catch you next time.